So there's actually some different things we could be focusing on today, things I could talk about. Number one, we know it's New Year's Day, right? We could focus on starting the year with Christ and having a new beginning. For us in the church, liturgically, it's the Feast of Mary, the Mother of God. We could talk about that. This is also World Day of Prayer for Peace, all good stuff. But normally, this would be the Feast of the Holy Family. Like when Christmas doesn't fall on a Sunday, the following Sunday would always be the Holy Family, which is so wise because it's good to reflect on family and family life and looking at this example of the Holy Family right after Christmas, because this is when most of us have been spending time with family and extended family. And we see that what happened with Jesus' birth is when God decided to show himself to the world, he chose to do that within a family. Right? That when God revealed himself, it was as a baby boy under the loving gaze of a mom and a dad. Just incredible. I mean, just by doing that, it elevates the family to new heights of love and dignity. So much so that the church actually says this. She says, the family is the fundamental building block of society. The family is the fundamental building block of society. So, like, why is the church so interested in the family as this place where we can construct a society out of? Why? Why do husbands and wives, men and women, commit their lives to each other? Right? It's not just because they love to love each other. It's not just for their own benefit, but because that particular relationship makes more human beings. Right? And those new human beings thrive when the two human beings that made them stay together in a stable and loving home. And so that's how the family becomes the building block of society. And so when it comes, especially in our culture right now, where there's so much confusion over the family, we have to be careful. And that's just kind of the word I want to offer today. When it comes to the family, we have to be careful. Because every one of us is part of a family. Like, you might not be married, that doesn't mean you're not part of a family. You might not have any siblings, but that doesn't mean you're not part of a family. And you might have parents that have passed on, but that doesn't mean you're not part of a family. And so we all have to be careful. And this is the job of all of us. And there are things we have to remember if we are going to be careful with our families. We have to remember what Christ and his church want us to do in our families. So, okay, there's that moment on a wedding day when the bride and groom traditionally will see each other for the first time. It's at the beginning of the wedding. The groom is standing up here on the steps by the altar. He's like at the top of the key. And the doors of the back of the church open, right? And then the bride starts walking down the aisle and they see each other for the first time. And it's so special. It's such a unique moment. And I was reading an article the other day by this guy named Martin de la Torre. And he described how he and his wife were invited to talk with this youth group by their pastor, talk about their marriage, talk about family life and the sacrament of matrimony. And at one point, one of the young men who was there asked Martin this question. He asked, "What did you think when you saw your now wife at the end of the aisle on your wedding day?" And he said, this immediately is what he thought. "You will now be responsible for this soul." Right? And so this is the voice of God. "My beautiful daughter will now be entrusted to your loving care. You must spiritually and physically protect her and nourish her. You must stand by her and not lead her to sin. You have been entrusted with a gift created in my image and likeness." Martin said, "That's what I thought when I saw my bride at the end of the aisle." And he said, "As I shared these words with the entire group, there was a collective, 'Oh no, you did not think that.' He said, 'No, I actually did. I explained to them the one thought that came to me was, remember, you made a vow to guard her soul. You have to be careful because you made a vow to guard her soul." And that was St. Joseph too, right? He's the guardian of Mary and Jesus. When he wanted to leave and the angel appeared to him and said, "No, you have to stay and guard them," he did. When Herod wants to kill Jesus, what does Joseph do? He guards his family by fleeing with them down to Egypt. Because that's what couples do, right? They guard each other. They guard each other's bodies and souls. That's the job entrusted to them by God. So they always have to be careful with each other. Remember that. When it comes to family, be careful. Because your spouse is a gift entrusted to you. When it comes to kids too, be careful. Because the church reminds us that, you know, the primary goal of marriage is not just the love of the spouses. The primary goal is that more human beings are brought up in a loving home. And so husbands and wives have to be open to children. But children are gifts. And no one is owed a gift. No one has a right to a gift. Parents are not owners of that new life. You're stewards. And so you have to be careful. In fact, the church reminds parents of that during baptism, to be careful. Because what happens right away at a baptism is the priest or deacon asks the mom and dad a question. He says, "You have asked to have your child baptized. And in doing so, you are accepting the responsibility of training her or him in the practice of the faith. It will be your duty to bring him or her up to keep God's commandments as Christ taught us by loving God and our neighbor. Do you clearly understand what you are undertaking?" And they say, "We do," but they don't. They have to say, "We do," but no one does. How could anyone, on the day they're promising this thing, actually know how much they're going to have to fight for this? But this child has been entrusted to you. And so you have to be careful. And then during baptism, right after that question, the parents and godparents are asked to trace the sign of the cross on the baby's forehead. You mark the child with the sign of the cross. And that's not just like some sweet little gesture that we do. It's saying Jesus died on a cross and now you are his. So you have to be careful. Because these children have been entrusted to you. You're not their owners, you're their stewards. So be careful. Because that's the reality, of course, and we say this 1,000 times, but we keep repeating it because it's true. The world is dangerous. And parents, your job is not to make the world less dangerous. You can't. But you can make your children more courageous. You can make your children stronger, even if you can't make the world safer. And so from that moment of baptism, making the sign of the cross, saying, wherever you go, there will be a cross. In life, there will be a cross. We're actually tracing that on you right now in one of the first days of your life. But they're careful to say your life is not only going to be marked by the cross, but your life is marked by the love of the one who embraced his cross. It's not just a dangerous world, it's a beautiful gift of a world. It's not just death, it's also resurrection. It's not just a bare cross, an empty cross. That cross has our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who will not abandon you in the midst of your cross. And so we have to be careful not just to communicate the cross and make people stronger, but also to communicate the very love that kept our Lord Jesus on the cross. Because we always have to be careful. And then, just in general, with our relatives or our siblings, John Paul II said, marriage and family life is the school of love. Because you learn how to love by being part of a family. But more and more, I don't know if this has been true for you, but it seems like in our day and age, there's more division. There's not only division in our culture, in our country, in our world, but division in our families. Right? And I know Jesus promised that would happen. He did. But our families, in so many ways, are the people we have to love. Right? Even dysfunctional families, which all of our families are dysfunctional in some way, we always put on a good face in front of other people, and we don't let them see in. But all of our families have struggles. Some have serious struggles. But all families are still a school of love. Every family is that place where you learn how to forgive. Every family is where we learn how to move on when someone isn't willing to say, "I'm sorry." Family is the place we learn how to get hurt and keep moving forward and loving people. Family is the place we're surrounded by the people we have to love, whether or not we like them. And some wisdom in that, that's not the same thing as enabling. Keep that in mind. Loving is not enabling. Because what's loving? Loving is willing the good of the other. In other words, don't just treat your family how they want you to treat them. Treat them better than that. To actually love them, to will the good of the other, even when they don't want to be loved. Now, we can look at that and say the same thing Cain did. What did Cain say in chapter 4 of Genesis? At one point, God is looking for Abel, and he says, "Hey, where's your brother?" And Cain responds by saying, "Am I my brother's keeper?" And that can be us so often. Do I have to love my brother? Do I have to love my sister? Why do I have to love this family? Am I my brother's keeper? And the answer is no. You're not your brother's keeper. You're your brother's brother. Or sister. You're not your sister's keeper. You are your sister's sister or brother. And you have to be careful to love her. You have to be careful to love him. And here's the last thing is, We're reminded of the Holy Family. I think it's worth being reminded we have to be careful with our families. I said that to a couple once when I was meeting with them doing their marriage prep. You have to be careful, because what happens in families is you get so comfortable with each other, you begin to get careless. I told this couple, I mentioned, be careful with each other, and the guy heard that, kind of had this look like, I don't know if I like that idea. And I read his mind thinking that, and I said, you're thinking right now, that means I have to walk around eggshells with her, right? And he said, yeah, that's what I was thinking. I said, no. There's two extremes here. One is walking on eggshells, always defensive. The other is being reckless with the other person. But in the middle, I'm just being careful that I said that thing, I did that thing, and they wilted just a little bit. And this has happened for all of us. Maybe it's just happened when you were together for Christmas. You said that thing, or you did that thing, and that person next to you wilted a little bit. To be careful means you noticed it. To be careful means you might have said something about it, even said that you were sorry. To be careful means simply not being careless with them. It's not walking on eggshells. It's actually just noticing the people next to us and loving them. The fundamental building block of society is the family. And during the Christmas season, we look at the Holy Family, where God decided to show himself to the world and to realize he wants to show himself to the world again in your family today, through your family, which means we have to learn to love, not just our friends, not just the people around us, but learn how to love in love's school, your family. And the best way we can do that, I think, is to start by simply being careful. Amen.